9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a live copyrighted presentation. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time now for RadioLawTalk.com with your host, Frederick Penny, attorney at law. And now, RadioLawTalk.com.
Welcome to Hour 2 of Radio Law Talk. It's the 2nd of March, 2024. Happy March. Happy spring coming up soon. I love spring. It's one of my favorite times, and I'm excited to see the little popcorn popping on the apricot tree. I love the, again, we're in the West Coast, and the beautiful trees around here, especially the fruit trees that have those beautiful pink and red flowers. My daughter lives near me, and she has an ornamental peach. I've never heard of, I think it's a peach. I've never heard of an ornamental peach because they have ornamental pears. Maybe it's an ornamental pear, but it's one I've never heard of. And it's got these bright red flowers right now on this tree. It's just beautiful to see. And I just love to see those. And then it's sad in a way. You see them coming
like
on.
Those trees that have those big pink, big ones that come up. They're like the first ones to bloom, and they look like they're just big blossoms sitting on a tree.
Oh, they're so pretty.
I think they're Douglas or something. I can't remember what they're called. Dogwood. Dogwood trees.
Dogwood trees. You're right.
Yeah, dogwood trees.
No, they're beautiful. And then you've got a lot of the fruit trees in where we are in California. We have a lot of fruit orchards. And it's pretty cool to see all the beautiful trees. Boy, if you go to a peach orchard and drive down, there's a place called Yuba City, Marysville. If those of you who are all over the United States, in California, that is pretty much all what's called stone fruits, which is peaches, plums, you know, all that type of stuff. And the trees are just blossoming like crazy. Look really cool. Okay, I'm off. This is the most exciting, entertaining, and only sometimes informative show on ours. So set your bar low. We're going to talk about a number of cases that we're discussing. Remember, we're not giving you legal advice. Seek counsel. Go to our website, and it talks about all the disclaimers. Call us at 855-LAW-RADIO if you want to call in, 855-LAW-RADIO, or go to www.radiolawtalk.com, and you can look at our old podcasts, or you can listen live. A lot of your friends probably want to listen to this, but their local radio stations don't have it. First, have them call the radio station to carry it, but they can listen live on our website, so that's fun. We're going to talk about, we started at the end of the last hour about the New York squatter case. We're going to finish that up. Talk about Sam Bankman-Fried, about his sentence. That's the Bitcoin company that actually was, what do you call it? They're not the company. They're the ones that were the they processed.
It was an exchange.
Exchange, yeah. Right, the exchange. And then we're going to talk about Rust again. It's in the news. The armorer or armament person, Ms. Gutierrez, is in court, and they're on her case where she's being prosecuted for involuntary manslaughter in New Mexico. And then we're going to talk about a Kansas law that is helping what happens if someone's overdosing and you happen to be taking the illegal or illicit drug with them. Do you call, or are you scared to call to help your helpless friend because you're worried about getting arrested? Well, Kansas law is going to change that. We're going to talk about what the law is existing. Panera Bread lawsuit, we're going to talk about that. And by the way, it wasn't just Panera, it was also Chick-fil-A that got sued similarly, and we'll talk about that. Colorado murder case and the brothers lawsuit that is worth billions of dollars. We're going to talk about that. But we're here for one thing and one thing over, and I know it's something about a car, Cal.
Now it's time to play Case or No.
Oh, wait a minute. Get back there and don't disappear.
Now
wait,
it's
here
time
we go.
To play right, case or no case.
Let's
all right, here we go. All right, here's the deal. This is one of those. The car for the purpose of this narrative shall be called the Actor, but the car actually had a given first name. We'll call it Terrence. Yes, people who sought Hollywood status could buy the Terrence Ferrari, which he helped design for himself before his death. But Terrence's family was not amused or happy. They said Ferrari used Terrence's name in an effort to make the car more valuable and collectible without paying them. After the family asked Ferrari to stop using Terrence's name in a marketing of their car, they simply changed the car's special edition status, pardon my S's today, they're bad, to the Actor. The family said the damage had been done. They went to a lawyer to see if they could sue Ferrari for a piece of the profits or for their woe that Ferrari put them through. But they say Terrence's name should not be used. So I have a multi-part question. I already told you the name of the car company, so each of you get 1 point for that. Name the Actor and case or no case outcome. Mm. So there's where we are.
All right, so I start this time, right, Gal?
Yep, you're up, Fred.
So what we're going to do is I'm going to say it's a case. I'm not going to give the, until everybody's done, I'm not going to give the actor's name.
Okay.
But what bothers me is my memory is going a little bit because my, as I always say, my hard drive's full. And I used to be a big Porsche, Ferrari, Lamborghini fan back when I was in my 20s, and I knew the names of all the different, you know, names of the different types of Ferraris, because it won't just be Ferrari, but it'll be like a 348 Ferrari, and there's, you know, different ones. So.
34 GTB, yeah. Whatever number, right.
Yeah, so anyway, right. I'm going to think about that, but it's a case, and I'll let you know. Do you want to know the outcome of the case?
Yeah.
I'm going to say Ferrari wins.
All right, Todd, what do you think in the matter of Terrence family vis-a-vis or versus Ferrari?
I don't think it's a case. I don't think it's a case, and I'm trying to think more about the name of the actor that was affixed to the car.
Mm-hmm.
And I still need to think about that, but I'm going to go with no case on this one.
Fair enough. Denise, what do you think about Terrence and Ferrari?
Well, it feels like I've heard something about this. That's what's weird.
Well, you
it
probably
has like a
have.
Ring
yeah, you probably
to
have.
It.
Yeah, I would think. Yeah.
So the question is it a case? And does that mean that the family of the man whose name was used sue Ferrari? And if so, what was the outcome? And if there was a case, it settled. It did. There was no formal outcome. So I'm going to say that it's no case.
I will give each of you within the next minute the chance to name the actor, and if you can before the break, you get an extra point. It'll be worth 3 points to you to name this actor.
All right, do you guys have the name? Because when I use the name, you can't use my name unless you already have it in your mind.
And it's got to be the name of the actor, not the character played in.
The name of the actor.
Okay,
actor.
All right.
Do you, Denise, have one yet?
Yeah.
Okay, it's the Ferrari Testarossa.
Okay.
Testarossa.
What do you think, Todd?
Is that the name of the actor?
Whatever the name is, it's the Testarossa.
We're trying to figure out the name of the actor that it was.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
The car carried
the name of the actor, and I'm saying the actor's name is Testarossa.
Right, I'm going to say that the actor is Tom Selleck.
Selleck car?
Good one, Todd. That is excellent.
No, not correct.
Denise, what do you think?
Well, I guess I was not thinking along those lines, and I was thinking John Wayne.
Okay, they didn't have a Wayne Ferrari. They had a Ferrari Testarossa, but did they have a Ferrari John Wayne? No. Did they have a Ferrari Tom Selleck? No, they didn't. So I think the winner chicken dinner is probably none of us, but I'm closest. We come back. We're going to find out if it's a Testarossa or if it's the John Wayne Ferrari or the Tom Selleck Ferrari.
I will give all of you one hint right now.
Uh-oh.
Special wine red color.
That's it.
If that helps you at all.
Well, I don't know. The Ferrari Testarossas were always red. Yeah. We'll be back after this.
This is Radio Law Talk. We'll have the answer to this case or no case as we return, so don't go away.
Talk.
All advertising for legal services on Radio Law Talk is strictly for the state or states in which the advertiser is licensed. For more information, go to RadioLawTalk.com.
I've got to get my car washed. This dirt, it just won't do.
The best thing about Quick Quick Car Wash is whenever you go through, the smell on your car is always great, and they have super fun lights and colors.
But I don't have no time today. I don't know what I do.
Your car smells good and it's clean at Quick Quick Car Wash.
Man, I know this place right down the road.
Quick Quick Car Wash.
Quick Quick Car Wash.
Get the Quick Quack confidence.
Hop inside, let's take a ride and watch this cat and shine.
Get the Quick Quack habit. Take a car once a week.
Just come and see, I guarantee your ride will steal the show.
I like Quick Quack because of the mascot, Quackles.
Come on, Quick Quack Car.
So we sell unlimited membership for per vehicle. You can add a family plan and add an additional vehicle at a discounted rate.
Don't drive that dirty car. Uh-huh. Quick Quack Car.
How would you like to go on a five-star vacation for just $99? We're talking about the quality of a Westgate Resort for $99. Not for one night, but for three fantastic nights at one of their luxurious destinations across the United States. And you'll even get a free $100 Visa gift card just for making a reservation. We've got some of the choicest destinations that you'll love in the United States that you can choose from for just $99 for a three-night stay. Take your family, take a special loved one, but get away. Go on vacation with Westgate Resorts. Call now to make a reservation for just $99, and you get a free $100 Visa gift card. Call Westgate right now and book your vacation. Here's the number.
800-283-6730. 800-283-6730. 800-283-6730. That's 800-283-6730.
How is your car payment treating you? What if I told you you could make a free phone call right now and reduce your car payment by as much as $83 a month? Look at your car payment closely. You could be paying as high as 20% interest. Rate Genius can help you reduce your car payments by reducing your interest rate to as low as 2.48% APR. We can refinance most existing car loans or leased cars, new or used, and save you money every month. Put more money back in your pocket. The call is free to find out how low we can lower your car payment. 5 minutes of your time right now could save you hundreds of dollars a year. Call Rate Genius now.
800-352-3308. 800-352-3308. 800-352-3308. That's 800-352-3308.
Not all applicants qualify for a loan or rate savings. Actual offer terms, including APR, are determined at the time of your application based on creditworthiness, value of the vehicle, loan term, and other factors.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0940. 800-670-0940. 800-670-0940. That's 800-670-0940.
If you pay my fee, I'll take your case.
Alrighty then.
Email the show anytime you'd like. info@radiolawtalk.com. I-N-F-O. Info.
Info.
At radiolawtalk.com.
.com.
All right, let's find out what the name of the Ferrari is. It might not be any of them, but let's figure out this red Ferrari that the lawsuit supposedly occurred from a famous actor that they used his name, I assume it's a him because it's older, for this Ferrari and they didn't want to, I guess they didn't want to take the name away from the name of the Ferrari. So go ahead, Cal.
So the car company was Ferrari, as I said, mm-hmm. and the name of the actor was Terrence Stephen McQueen.
Oh, Steve McQueen.
And the case was settled. The car was not actually mass-produced that we know of, but Steve McQueen's car that he owned, that Ferrari said, you know, we should make one of these and sell them, recently sold for $12 million.
Wow.
And his parasol sunglasses sold for $70,000. So his name still had value. His family was right. They didn't get anything. They settled it with Ferrari. No big deal. Ferrari said, we won't make the car. Thank you very much. We're sorry. Didn't mean to cause you any problem. And that was that. And that is... Yes, it was a case. Family settled for nothing. No, they just didn't like the car. Yeah.
So I guess I'm going to have trouble with points here.
Okay, just say no case.
Well, I said no case, although I said the family settled, and then I went no case. So,
so you said family
zero.
Settled.
So I get zero.
Yeah, I think that's a zero.
And then Fred said...
A case.
Yes.
But Ferrari wins.
But Ferrari wins, so,
so you get
one, right?
Okay, Todd.
And I said it was a case. No, wait, what did I say? I said no case.
No case.
Yes, you said no case.
I said
so
no
you
case.
Get zero.
Fred gets
so
a
I get
point.
One.
And
yes.
The McQueen Ferrari, $12 million. And by the way, the McQueen's Ferrari, were it not associated with him, similar models sold for about $4 million.
Right.
So even now his name, and he's been dead for a long time, but even now his name added $8 million to the value of.
So it's a Ferrari 275 GTB-4.
Yes, and he helped design it, picked out the color. They made this special claret wine color that he liked and other couple of little touches. And they said, man, we can mass produce this and make bank. And the family said, not without paying us, you can't.
1963 Ferrari 275 GTB.
Would it be a fun one to drive, I would imagine.
You know, I've had one of those. Older cars. I had a 1969, I mean recently, original Indy 500 pace car. They made, I think, two of them, and then each dealer got one replica, but it's still the same car.
And that was a Firebird, right?
No. It's a Camaro.
Oh, Camaro.
Convertible Camaro. Okay. 69. Ugh. Oh, yeah. It's SSRS. So it had the closed lights.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Yeah. But let me tell you, driving that thing was like driving a tank. And we're just used to it when we're kids driving the 60s, you know, how they weren't very comfortable and they were bouncy and they didn't compare to the
no
cars
seat belts.
Now. Well, they had the seatbelt, it was the lap, but they had the steering wheel that's the, if I get in a head-on collision, that it comes back and crushes me, you know?
And I remember, it was racing suspension. It was meant to have a stiff ride.
Right. No, that's exactly right. So it's amazing what my wife and I are like. I'm telling you, I would take that car for a drive. I got more looks in that car than any other car, and I get stopped. People want to look at it, check it out, and it's an original. It was an original car.
Last Saturday night, was driving up to my folks' place, had to stop to get gas. In the place that I went, there was a fully restored red convertible 1970 Chevy Chevelle.
Nice.
And I had to go talk to the guy because that car was just impressive looking.
Yeah.
It was just like, wow.
Yeah, no, I parked that car wherever I went. There would be people all around it when I'd park it. I'm going to go to the but it was so uncomfortable and so dangerous. It's just because it was original. There was nothing that had changed, and just the steering was off. And, you know, it was like, it fetched a pretty good, I bought it and it fetched a pretty good amount of money when I sold it.
Now, whenever you went out, did the people always shout, well, there goes John Jacob Jingleheimer Schmidt? Da 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 da. Sorry. I had a camp. I had a camp flashback there.
No, I don't remember that.
Don't remember that? Okay. All right.
Well, we got a minute or two. Let's finish up this New York City squatter thing. It's Brett Flores. They're in the process of, they've actually, the owners of the home have hired a security guy to stand out and to make sure nothing's done to the house. The individual Brett Flores is hardly even around the house anymore. Drove away in his nice little BMW. But you have the most updated thing, Todd, that the lawyer for Brett Flores, the person that is staying there, the squatter, is claiming that they've got some great something new and exciting?
Yeah, the other day, the attorney said first, that Brett Flores claims that he has an agreement, or had an agreement with the previous owner, the guy that he took care of, to the tune of $3,000 a week, to remain on the property moving forward. So I would imagine that that's going to be some sort of a claim that the property was improperly sold because there was an agreement that extended with the property moving forward. But he said there's another bombshell allegation that's going to change this narrative, turn it on its head, and I'm releasing it tomorrow. And he said that yesterday, and as of today, well, I'm going to delay the release a little
bit. I want some more publicity.
Yes.
That's exactly what's going on. This
Sounds
is
like
all about
straw clutching, doesn't it?
This is all about publicity because this is a, you know what? Look, dude, get out of the house. I don't care what the law is. Get out of the house, Brett Flores, because guess what? There's certain things that, yes, it's the law, and you can use it to your advantage, but they've got a disabled child next door.
Yeah.
Do the right thing.
And he'll never get another job with this kind of publicity.
No.
Never as a caretaker.
You had a good run. Get out, right? Yeah. Had a good run. Yeah.
I don't know.
And he's going to lose. There's no writing.
Right.
He doesn't have a written license to the house.
Right.
It's ridiculous.
All right. Coming back on the I went from $8 billion rich to zero, Sam Bankman Fried.
Fried? It's Bankman Fried, but I like cows.
Fraud. Okay. We'll talk about his sentence coming up.
This is Radio Law Talk. Lots more coming up right here. Stay tuned as the big broadcast will carry on.
Commercials and other announcements aired on Radio Law Talk contain the opinions of the sponsor. The airing of said announcements on Radio Law Talk does not constitute an endorsement. The announcements may contain claims that are not intended to treat, diagnose, or cure any disease. These claims have not been evaluated by the FDA.
Do you want to know the secret to putting extra money back in your pocket? Then switch your car insurance. And now you can make one phone call and shop dozens of insurance companies. Just like buying airline tickets, where it's easy to make one call that has all the best deals. We have great deals with most of the major top-rated insurance companies. We are your superstore for car insurance. We've switched people from their expensive car insurance plans and saved them hundreds of dollars a year. If you think you're paying too much for your car insurance, call now. It's easy to switch, and in 5 minutes, yes, just 5 minutes, you'll learn how much money you can save on your car insurance. Save yourself some money this year. Call now for your car insurance. Call eInsurance now for your free car insurance quote. 800-251-0427. 800-251-0427. 800-251-0427. That's 800-251-0427. Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is the perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-481-5621. 800-481-5621. 800-481-5621. That's 800-481-5621. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
Do you have an old car sitting around your house? Maybe you're even paying insurance on it. Well, if you don't need that car anymore, donate it, running or not, to the United Breast Cancer Foundation. They will even come and pick it up for free and give you a receipt for a tax donation. Breast cancer screening could save the life of someone you love. And right now, they need your help. They want to save more lives through early detection by offering women free or low-cost breast screening exams. And that's what your old car helps to pay for. So get your phone out and call right now to donate your car to the United Breast Cancer Foundation. Remember, they will come pick it up for free and give you a tax donation receipt. Call right now at 800-245-0473. 800-245-0473. That's 800-245-0473. 800-245-0473.
Do you run a business and want to learn how you can get between $10,000 to $5 million in 60 seconds? We're BizToCredit, a top-rated online financing provider to hundreds of thousands of America's business owners. If your business does at least $120,000 a year in gross sales, we can get you more money to run your business in as little as 72 hours. Our terms are simple, repayment plans are flexible, and based on your cash flow. Plus, the paperwork is minimal and the approval process is fast. So in the time you've listened to this commercial, you could have learned if you qualify to get up to $5 million in cash deposited to your business bank account in the next 2 to 3 days. Funding specialists are ready to take your call right now and get you the money you need, fast. Call 800-559-5523. That's 800-559-5523. Again, 800-559-5523. Call now.
Interest rates and inflation are out of control. Is your credit card debt also out of control? It's time to resolve your debt and take back control for a lot less than what you owe. If you have $10,000 or more in credit card debt, then you need to call us right now. Debt Fix Pros can significantly reduce the amount you owe, and you could be debt-free faster than you think.
I knew we had to do something. Our debt was growing.
It was getting out of control, and we just didn't know what to do.
We saw an ad for Debt Fix Pros. We called, and they showed us how fast they could get us out of debt.
It really was amazing, and now we're back in control.
Call now, and we'll show you how easy it is to fix your debt. The call and consultation are free. Call Debt Fix Pros right now at 800-580-7703, 800-580-7703, 800-580-7703.
I am big.
I'm kind of a big deal.
You look fabulous. You're going to knock them dead at the bowling alley.
Showtime.
Radio Law Talk. I like that show.
Email the show anytime you'd like. info@radiolawtalk.com. I-N-F-O. Info.
Info.
At radiolawtalk.com. .com.
So the founder of FTX, the Sam Bankman Fried, is his dad apparently is a professor at Stanford. Stanford Law Professor Joseph Bankman and Barbara Fried. I think she may also be a professor
they're both,
there.
They're both professors.
Wait, hold on. You're not turned on, Cal. He's not turned on.
Yeah, I think they're both professors at Stanford Law.
Yeah, that's crazy. But apparently he was just a, you know, kind of a savant type brilliant kid that went from being worth $8 billion with a B to zero. Flying in jets, private homes, you know, living the high life to within a few months being broke and being prosecuted here. And so apparently he already went to trial this case, and they're appealing it, but the jury found him guilty and of the following, of 7 counts of fraud and conspiracy. Now his argument is very clear that, okay, if I committed fraud and conspiracy, I paid it all back. Nobody was harmed. Be light on my sentence, right, Todd or Denise? The amount is what he can get up to 110 years?
That is his argument, that essentially I've made restitution. He hasn't made fully restitution. The company is saying that all the investors will be paid back, that it hasn't happened yet, but the intention is to try to pay everyone back. And he is saying, look, because I have started it myself and because the company intends to pay everybody back, restitution will have been made, and so I should get a lighter sentence.
And I didn't keep anything.
That's right.
I don't have anything. I'm broke, and I gave it all back. But, Denise, you said this reminds you of something, and you're curious of Yeah, where the disparity, if there's going to be any disparity, disparagement here.
Yeah, in Theranos matter, Elizabeth Holmes, she had done partial restitution through the administrative process, right? And then she had also done further restitution through the lawsuit. And so she had argued the same thing, you know, that everybody was going to get paid back. But yet she still got 12 years. Now, in Sam Friedman's case, he's looking at 100-plus years, which to me, that is too long.
Excessive.
That's excessive punishment under the law, and I don't think he's going to get that. But I do think he's going to get something very similar to what Theranos' founder received.
Yeah,
so probably Elizabeth. 12 to 15 years.
He's young, too, though.
He is. Young. He'll survive it.
But going back to this argument that I should get a lighter sentence because I made restitution, right? Because everybody's been paid back. And look, securing restitution for the victims is only one of the aims of sentencing, and it's not high on the list. The highest one on the list is to punish the offender to deter others from engaging in the same conduct. And look, if you paid it back after the fact, right, that's fine. What if you never got caught? What if he hadn't got caught? Now remember, the wheels came off of FTX because there was a proposed sale by another company going to come in and buy it, right? And let's say, for the sake of arguments, that company that was going to come in and buy it, instead of saying, boy, we really don't like these financials, we're not going to buy it, which caused a run, and that's where things really went down. Let's say that company had come in and said, all right, we'll buy it.
We'll
buy it, and we'll take care of everything. And everybody would still be investing on the platform because the other company came in and bought it with their resources, and Bankman-Fried would have $8 billion that he never paid back because, hey, the sale went through. I might have engaged in illegal conduct, but it worked out for me. I didn't get caught. And that's what sentencing is designed to curb. And so this idea that I paid it all back, it's not that it falls completely on deaf ears, but it doesn't save the day for you as a defendant.
It goes to mitigation.
It does.
But it does not go to exoneration, right?
That is absolutely correct.
But now I'm going to jump on the criminal side.
Yep.
You know, you got a murderer that's getting the same amount of time, that's murdered someone, or that is a second degree, murder, and they're getting 25 years, right?
25 to life.
To life, but I'm saying some of them can get 25 or 20. I know a guy now that is out of prison that murdered a little boy, was drunk, and ran him over and killed him. A little boy, little 8-year-old, and he's out of prison after about 20 years. Okay.
Yep.
To me, that is way more heinous than this. And I think there's a disparagement. Now, again, I'm not saying this is my opinion. I'm just throwing this out as another argument, right? You know, how is it that a murderer gets close to the same amount of time of 110 years here? Or think of the crazy guy in South Carolina, you know, whatever his name is.
Alex Murdaugh.
Yeah, Murdaugh is getting, 100 years or something. And that's the same amount of time this guy could get, technically.
Let me explain the 110 years. So the sentencing memorandum that the probation department does is for the judge. And what they do is they go and they look at the law and they say, okay, each count that he was convicted of, what is the range and what is the technical max and what is the technical minimum? The purpose of that memo is so that the judge has what the law is and the sentencing range is for that specific set of crimes that were...
For each crime.
For each crime.
Yeah.
And look, I think that somebody should get the max, 110 years. I think that Bankman-Fried could, and I would probably say he should get the max, if he came in with a long criminal history of similar type conduct and a lifetime of flaunting the law and doing all that. Yeah, okay, give him the max. Bankman-Fried doesn't come in with that. He comes in with...
No priors.
No priors, a relatively clean record. So I do agree that there should be leniency. I absolutely agree with you, Fred, that, look, he shouldn't be getting the same amount of time as rapists and murderers and all that kind of stuff. However, should he get, because this gets to Denise's point, Elizabeth Holmes with Theranos got 11 years, right? Or 12 years. Mm-hmm. She's going to do 11 of it in custody. The lawyer for Bankman-Fried is arguing, well, my client paid everything back, and so he should only do 5 to 6 years of time. And on the flip side, I'm sitting there saying, well, if Holmes is doing 12 years, I think Bankman-Fried's conduct was far more egregious than Holmes' conduct. And I think that if that is a guideline, he ought to be doing more than her. So,
or at least the same as her.
Maybe. Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be he's going to get time served too, right? His bond was revoked.
Yeah, so he's going to get credit for the amount of time that he spent in custody from the time his bond was revoked and he was been in custody until the date of sentencing. So whatever they do, they'll say, and you, if they give him 20 years, they'll say, and you already have a year or so of credit because you've been in custody this whole time.
Yeah,
and if it's a federal case. It's better than a state case, right, Todd?
Federal case, you're going to do 85% of your time. And that's the thing about this. This was a federal case.
Yes.
Okay. And that's why they could really look at Elizabeth Holmes and say these need to be on par with each other so that they're not treated differently because they're both federal cases.
Yeah. So same context, the same law. All of that, not a state versus federal.
Absolutely. So if he gets 20 years, he's going to do 85% of that because of federal case. If it was a state case, like the state of California, and he was given 20 years, he'd only do 10. By statute, you get better credits in state cases.
That's nice.
Yeah, I actually think he's probably going to get 15. That's just my intuition.
Huh.
But not based on really good knowledge like you have, Todd. You know?
Can we get that sound bite? Can we get just that clip?
And then we'll AI it. We'll say really good knowledge about the adult film industry.
There we go.
Don't get me started about chewing tobacco there.
All right, let's move on to Rust. Rust. This is, we've been going on forever. That's about the shooting of Helena Hutchison, and we're going to get into the trial of the individual by the name of Hannah Gutierrez Reed, who is the armorist, and that's the person who handles the guns. And her trial's going on right now, and there's some interesting testimony. By the way, I wonder if it's a little slanted because there's a lawsuit that this individual that's testifying against Alec Baldwin, this person's throwing Alec under the table a little bit. We'll be back. We'll talk about it.
Stay tuned for more Radio Law Talk. It's coming right up after we break away. All advertising for legal services on Radio Law Talk is strictly for the state or states in which the advertiser is licensed. For more information, go to radiolawtalk.com. If you're one of those independent people who wants your own business and you love food service, we just might have a great opportunity for you. Iceberg Drive-Ins. Iceberg is famous for its thick shakes and delicious food. We lend you our supply chain and expertise, and you can potentially have a thriving, successful, fun business that your customers will love. Iceberg Drive-Ins has some prime areas available right now, so if you're interested, get in touch with us right away. Go to icebergdrivein.com and click on the Contact Us button. Iceberg Drive-In, ready to grow with you.
This is Denise Dirks. We can represent clients in divorce, legal separation, child and spousal support, custody, termination of parental rights, step-parent adoptions, guardianships, and even conservatorship matters. Call 1-877-886-7186 for a consultation.
The law offices of Denise L. Dirks provide family law services in Northern California. When the law affects your family, call 877-886-7186. The family of attorneys at Denise L. Dirks is here to help.
I've got to get my car washed, this dirt, it just won't do. But I don't have no time today, I don't know what I do.
Man, I know this place right down the road, Quick Quack Car Wash. Uh-huh. Hop inside, let's take a ride, and watch this cat and shine. Just come and see, I guarantee, your ride will steal the show. Come on, Quick Quack Car Wash. Don't drive that dirty car, uh-huh. Quick Quack Car Wash. They'll have you looking sharp. Well, come on.
This is Frederick Penny, host of Radio Law Talk. I'm excited to announce myself and Mark Victor Hansen, the author of the famous Chicken Soup for the Soul, collaborate to bring this three-book series, Goose. Book one is about William Collins. Goose is the perfect gift for yourself, family, friend, or someone you care about. Great stories, lifelong lessons that you can apply to your life to help you to become successful.
Goose by Frederick W. Penny.
Available on Amazon Books now.
Have you outgrown your health insurance plan or just not happy with what you're paying for? The number one reason we all change our health insurance is price. Are you paying too much for your health insurance? Would you like to have better coverage at a better rate or at little or no cost to you? Your life needs are always changing, but have you done anything to improve your health insurance for you and your family? Health insurance laws and coverage are always changing and getting better. It's impossible to do all the research yourself, but now it's all done for you for free. So regardless of your age or medical condition, take a few minutes right now and find out if you can save money or even qualify for zero cost health insurance in your state. Call now.
Paid for by Cheaper Health Insurance. 800-635-7188. 800-635-7188. 800-635-7188. That's 800-635-7188.
Attention. If you owe back taxes to the IRS, the IRS is cracking down by hiring 87,000 new agents to garnish your paycheck and put liens on homes and businesses. They can even seize your bank account. The IRS calls it enforced compliance, and now they have the manpower to get you. Penalties and interest on unpaid taxes compound daily. So call One-Stop Tax Relief Shop and get the IRS off your back. They're experts in the Fresh Start Initiative, one of the biggest breaks the IRS has ever offered.
Call 800-501-2533. 800-501-2533.
One-Stop Tax Relief has resolved thousands of cases since 2014 and saved clients millions of dollars. Call now for a free consultation. Get the IRS off your back.
Call 800-501-2533. 800-501-2533.
One-Stop Tax Relief Shop. I'm going to say it.
What the heck is that thing?
Is this real life?
Now it's time for more Radio Law Talk.
So this witness in the Rust trial is last name Adiago. And there... He's one of three members of this crew that, by the way, is suing Alex Baldwin and the producers of Rust, saying because he witnessed Hutchins' death, he has PTSD and anxiety, which I believe that. But he is now testifying in Hannah Gutierrez-Reed's case, basically saying that Alec Baldwin was the producer and in charge, and they're actually trying to push everything away from the Hannah Gutierrez-Reed and saying it was Alec Baldwin that made that was making decisions, right?
Yeah, they're trying to paint the picture that Gutierrez-Reed, even though she was the armorer, was being rushed when other armorers would take more time. For example, if an armorer is going to... If a person is going to use a gun in a scene that's supposed to look like it's loaded, even though it's with dummy rounds, the protocol is for the armorer to open up the gun, let the actor look down the barrel of the gun. The armorer would look down the barrel of the gun. The actor would then watch the armorer insert the dummy rounds into the chamber, close the gun, give it to the actor. Actor uses it for the set, for the scene, then gives it back to the armorer. And this testimony here from Adiago, is it sounds like he's trying to paint the picture that Baldwin was rushing everybody, move, 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 we got to move, and was not allowing Gutierrez-Reed the time to inspect or perform her job safely. The problem with that testimony as it relates to this specific incident is that I believe the evidence is that the armorer, Gutierrez-Reed, wasn't the one who gave the gun to Baldwin. The gun was on a cart picked up by the assistant director, Hall. Hall gave it to Baldwin. So the armorer didn't do her job in that regard. And another testimony from this witness is, yeah, I've never seen other armorers on the set act the way that she did. Other armorers, usually former military, former law enforcement, very strict. You'd never see guns left laid out on the set. They very stringent safety standards. This was a far more lax procedure. Other armorers would have safety meetings every day. This guy remembers having one safety meeting the entire time. And so it was a much, safety was much more lax on set, but they're trying to paint it as Baldwin being the one that was really pushing for all of that. And
pushing, as Denise say, for, maybe you said this and I didn't catch it, a live gun instead of the rubber
that's
ones.
That's right. That's what the testimony has been, is that Baldwin insisted on having a live gun to practice with, not necessarily to film with, but to practice with. And that would be highly unusual for filming in this in a film set where there are so many guns, to have a live gun there.
Well, and what do you mean by live gun? So the difference between that is having a gun that was capable of firing real bullets. I don't think he was insistent that it be loaded with real bullets,
right?
But that it was capable of doing that versus having a rubber gun,
right.
That didn't even look real. He wanted to have, for authenticity, something that looked like that firearm. And honestly, there are a lot of directors and producers that do that. I don't have a problem with that, because the producer and director should be able to rely on the fact that you have an armorer who's there. Their sole purpose is to be there to safeguard and to have the safety of the incident protected. I mean, if you're going to use rubber guns the entire time, right? Fake guns, why do you even need an armorer if you're not even going to use a real gun? You need the armorer there for a real gun. It happens in the industry all the time. So I see this witness making this big statement. The other one was the statement about how Baldwin said he wanted to, apparently the scene called for him just to show the handle, but he also wanted to whip it out. He says, you know, that Baldwin was insistent that we whip it out. Again, I don't have a problem with that either. Because I know,
as long as it was empty, as long as the gun was empty.
Well, I don't have a problem with the fact that Baldwin wanted to do something different than what the scene called for. Apparently, the scene called just for showing the handle, because I know exactly why Baldwin and every other director would do this. What they want to do is, all right, let's do a couple of takes. One where you just show the handle, one where you whip the gun out and show it, and then when we get in the editing room, we're going to see which one works better for story. Does it work better if you pull the whole gun out versus just showing the handle? Which one is better? It's great to give an editor that kind of flexibility if you have different takes, even though the script didn't necessarily call for it.
I wonder if they have the actual tape footage of, because they were rolling when he did that.
I don't think they were rolling.
Oh, you don't think they were?
I don't think, because if they did, that would clean up a lot of this stuff about whether the trigger was pulled because it was a close-up on the gun. You would have had that, because if let's put it this way. If they had footage of this, and this was supposed to be a close-up of him, you know, showing the gun, right? If he had pulled the trigger, you would have been able to see in the film the barrel rotate. Well, that barrel's not going to rotate if you don't pull that trigger. And that cuts against what he said.
Yeah.
Right? So.
Well, remember also in the beginning there was, and this is an allegation, this is just press releases about what witnesses around it before the trial started were saying, was that there were people on set with real guns, real ammunition, practice shooting over in another area close to the set. And so I don't know. I feel like it's a little reckless, in my opinion, about having real ammunition and real guns on the set. Even if it's not on the set and it's off to the side of the set, I just think that's dangerous. I know that's the armorer's fault, but it's also, to some extent, the director, if the director allowed it.
Okay, that's true, but Baldwin wasn't the director.
No, but he was an executive producer.
Here's another little wrinkle in this thing. Don't forget, within just hours, 5 days before this incident, there are two accidental discharges that happened on the scene. One, another prop master, Sarah Zachary, was outside the cabin unloading one of the guns, and it went off. Another one, within hours of that, was where Gutierrez Reed was working with Baldwin's stunt double, and a shot went off. So there's twice that they've had issues before this. Now, here's another thing that's very, I want to get this out. It's very interesting. When they were testifying about this, these other accidental discharges, you notice the word they say accidental discharges. And the witness said these were accidental discharges that accidentally went off. What is Baldwin arguing the whole time? I didn't mean to shoot this. This was a pure accident. I didn't even pull the trigger. And that's what they're going to argue here. They just testified to said exactly what Baldwin was saying. I didn't even pull the trigger.
That's right.
It was an accidental discharge.
That was what I noticed. These two other times, did the people pull the trigger? I highly doubt that the armorer that had the first, or the assistant that had the prop master that had the first one, was pulling the trigger when it accidentally went off, when there was the accidental discharge that first time, and then the second time when they were rehearsing a scene. And let's also remember this. One of the safety features is to, you ever heard of people wanting to leave top dead center? They want to leave top dead center empty when you store a gun.
Oh, on the barrel?
They want to leave top dead center empty, and that's the chamber. Now, look, that gun's going to go off if you pull the trigger, but leaving top dead center empty is something that protects against an accidental discharge,
right,
or something causes that firing pin to go forward. There's no bullet there. Well, if that's a safety feature, that would tend to indicate that sometimes that can happen. And on this set here with these guns, it happened twice.
Before.
Twice before, within 5 days of the shooting.
Which is a good argument for Alec Baldwin. I told you.
I think it's also a good argument to show that they would have known of the danger and the risk.
No, that's a good point. That's exactly right.
Wow. Guys, wow.
We're going to follow this along. It's going to be very interesting to see what happens with this case. Denise, tell us about Kansas. What's going on in one of the two? Well, just give us a tease and we'll come back and talk about it hour three.
Okay, well, a lot of states are getting either more liberal with drug laws or they're getting stricter with drug laws. And now we're going to go through a case where we're going to see a change in a drug law that's an important change.
We'll be back hour three.
You are listening to Radio Law Talk. Todd, Fred, and Denise will be back at 6 minutes after the next hour, either on your local radio station or at RadioLawTalk.com. We appreciate your listening and invite you to stay tuned for the third hour of Radio Law Talk.
You have been listening to RadioLawTalk.com, a copyrighted presentation of Radio Law Talk Incorporated.